And we are here. We're going to be talking today about the gift of faith, the gift of faith. And it's going to transform you. I'm telling you, if you will learn the operations of your faith and the gift of faith, how you can apprehend the gift of faith, how you can apprehend the faith of other people. Well, we're going to be talking about that kind of stuff today on the broadcast. But before we go any further, I want you to look at these miracle clips just to stir your faith and let you know that miracles are waiting to happen through your life.
In the name of Jesus, Lord, let you, death, devil, the spirit that shall command you to come fuera ahora en el nombre de Jesús. In the name of Jesus, you, death, devil, I command you to come out. In the name of Jesus. But she can hear me now. Yep. All right. Nora. Nora.
In the name of Jesus, I curse this blindness right now. I command you to come out of her right now. In the name of Jesus. Oh God, I loose the working of miracle right now. Recreate this eye, God, make it clear. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Now, tell her as soon as she opens her eye.
Cuando tú abrirás el ojo de
I want her to tell me what she sees.
Quiero que tú me digas cosa de.
Okay?
Okay?
Now. Open up.
Abre.
I want to see.
Vedi cosa ti vuoi.
Look me.
What do you see? Cosa ti
vedi?
This? Vedi questo.
See this?
Vedi questo.
See this?
Vedi questo.
Come on, you see that?
Vedi questo.
See this?
Vedi questo.
Huh? Huh?
Vedi questo.
Hallelujah. Oh, come on, somebody. Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Well, there you go. You see that God is still a God of miracles. People say, oh, miracles have passed away. No, that just means that unbelief has come.
Yeah.
Yeah, miracles have not passed away. Men's unbelief has finally arrived. And these things happen, just like we talked on Tuesday. They happen because someone takes their faith and lays hold of what God has promised. So, today we're going to be talking, and I know, Rob, you read this passage of Scripture last week, but let's read it again this week, and then we're going to get into one of the gifts. And from 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, 7 through verse 11.
But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another divers kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. But all of these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will.
Yes, hallelujah. Nine gifts of the Spirit,
yep.
They are classified in typical teachings, they are classified in three classes.
Three, yeah.
One is the vocal gifts, which would be tongues, interpretation of tongues, and prophecy. These are the most, the biggest opportunities for error,
yeah,
and misuse,
yeah,
comes there. Then you have the gifts of the three gifts of power. Mm-hmm. That is faith. That is working of miracles, and the gifts of healing. Those are known as the power gifts. And then you have what is known as the revelation gifts, something revealed,
yeah,
by God to you. And that is the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and the discerning of spirits. But today we're going to talk about the gift of faith. It is the gift of faith. Now, this gift doesn't, it does come in that God tells you to do something and this gift accompanies what you do.
Yeah.
But it doesn't come from reading the scriptures.
No.
There is a faith that comes from reading the scriptures. That is the faith that every believer lives by.
Yeah.
And we, as believers, have been given a measure of faith, Romans 12:3. That measure of faith, Rob, is for the life that we live here on earth.
Yeah.
It is. I've heard people say, well, you know, when you get to heaven, you're still going to have to live by faith. How can you live by faith? The Bible says that which is seen is no longer faith.
Now, yeah.
That's just foolish.
Yes.
But
faith is the substance of things hoped for.
Yeah, of things hopeful. Once
yeah.
you get there, hallelujah, you don't have to hope for it.
Yep.
And so we aren't going to have to use faith. We will have received the totality and the completeness. Jesus doesn't have to use faith to see who he is. He is
yeah.
now. And so we will be like him when he comes.
Yeah.
So the first place that faith comes is from us hearing about redemption or about God through someone else or reading a book or radio or TV or something of that nature. That comes, Rob. Now, that is the faith that we get every day that we read and so forth. We feed our faith on this. And we accumulate or enlarge or activate our faith in certain areas by hearing the word.
Now, would you say, Pastor, that's more like saving faith, justifying faith, sanctifying faith? Because all that comes through, you know, understanding and appropriating the gospel, right?
There, the we would, here's one thing that I differ in a lot of different people. But I believe that when we get born again,
yeah.
we have a new nature.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Old things pass away. Behold, all things are new. All things are of God. So God gives every man the measure of faith. Where is that measure?
Yeah. Yeah.
It is in
the new nature.
The recreated yeah. human spirit.
Yeah.
The same place, love.
Yeah.
Same place, kindness, gentleness, meekness, temperance. It is here. So
yeah.
when it says, well, faith cometh by hearing, where does it come from?
Yeah.
It comes from the human spirit mm-hmm. that has been infused with a measure of faith. Now the Bible says in 2 Peter 1:1, it says, Peter is saying, I write unto you that have obtained
yeah,
like precious faith.
Yeah.
Obtained means you have it.
Yeah.
Now Peter has been saved I don't know how many years before he writes that.
Yeah.
But it says, I write unto you that have obtained like
yeah.
exactly the imprint,
yeah.
the exact curvature, the exact
yeah.
mount, everything like mine.
Yeah.
No more or no less.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, so Peter has a measure of faith.
Yeah.
What measure is that? That is the measure to live life
yeah.
as a justified man.
Yeah.
Now, that faith enables you to control the devil.
Mm-hmm.
That faith enables you to resist sin,
yeah.
temptation. That faith enables you to appropriate every gift,
yeah.
every promise in this Bible right here, every one of them, Rob.
Yeah,
it can be appropriated. If not, then some would be preferred over others.
Yeah, yeah.
But every person has the measure
yeah.
of faith.
Yeah,
and that measure of faith is that measure that we get saved by.
Yeah.
It is the measure that we are sanctified by, justified by, made clean. We are kept through the power
yeah.
of faith.
The just shall live by faith.
There you go.
Yeah.
So we are able to extract the Zoe of
yeah.
God that is in every promise.
Yeah.
2 Peter 1:2-4 in here. And we can have any of it that you want to have.
Yeah.
What you have to do is get your mind renewed.
Yeah.
As soon as your mind is renewed, then it becomes a faith mind.
Yeah.
It's not a mind of the carnal
yeah.
or of the senses. Now it's a mind
yeah.
of the spirit.
Absolutely.
Let this mind be in you that was in Christ.
Jesus.
It is the faith mind.
Yeah.
And
the corrupt mind can't inherit the things of the kingdom.
No, absolutely not.
Yeah.
There you go. And then if we go over to Romans, the 12th chapter, and we look at verse 3.
Yeah.
Robin, have you read from 3, let's read about 5 verses or so and see where we end up here.
All right. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members of one another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of our faith.
Stop right there.
All right.
Now we see something. Paul speaks about the measure of faith. No man can think of himself any higher, any other position, than we are all brothers of the same body.
One body.
That is one faith.
Yeah.
There is one Lord, one Spirit, one faith.
Yeah.
That levels the playing field.
Yeah.
We are one. God cannot and does not prefer one above another. He's not a respecter of persons. This gives us that we are qualified as everybody else to apprehend every gift. But then notice that he makes a transition. For we have many members in one body, all members having not the same office.
Yeah.
And then he comes down here, and in verse 6, he says, every office operates in the proportion of a faith.
Yes.
Now, see, this now is not talking about the believer's life.
Yeah.
This is now talking about the office or the position of a believer.
Yeah.
So when we, now it comes the same way by hearing. When we hear the first time, it's like, Rob, when God called you, I want you to preach the gospel. Okay, God calls you to do that. Guess what? When that call comes and you hear that call, there is a portion of faith that is put in you. It cannot come from this.
Yeah.
It comes from hearing the call.
Yeah. That's good.
Now, that faith is infused in you and it will provide for you. It'll enable you to pull down principalities about it. It'll help you fight your beast of your ephes.
Yeah.
It'll enable you to be successful and bring this office to fruition.
Yeah.
That's what it would do.
That's good.
Now, the fivefold ministry, what we call it, the pastor, the teacher, the evangelist, the apostle, and the prophet, all have measures of faith in portion to God's plan for their life.
Yeah.
And so God gives us a portion of faith. Now, this is not the faith of the measure.
Yeah.
Now it's a portion
of faith.
Yeah, it's not a measure. It's a portion.
Yeah.
So it's different.
Mm.
And this is given to people to operate in one of these 9 gifts that function in the body of Christ, the church. And then there is also the of the fivefold ministry, they are given a portion, and it functions in those capacities.
Yeah. Christ ascended, gave gifts to men.
Yeah. There you go. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Gave gifts to men. Yeah. Well, what helps those gifts activate?
Yeah.
Faith.
Yeah.
Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God.
Yeah.
So there's the bestowment of the grace of salvation, but the grace of faith, the measure, now the grace of faith for portion. Now separate Paul and Barnabas for the call that I have.
Yeah.
Now they're gone. Okay, so that is a measure of faith. The fivefold ministry is a measure of faith. And then, even in missions and things of that nature, sometimes faith is given for a lifetime.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's just given for an accomplishment.
Yeah, or assignment, particular assignment.
A particular assignment.
Yeah.
Why does somebody love homeless people? Now listen, we feed the homeless and stuff like that, but ain't nobody got a heart for those people like Steve Yen. Just take it to the bank. Listen, I mean, he out there and he's laboring for those people. He, man, and he gets favor. People give him pizzas. Man, he said, I got enough pizza, Patty, we can feed them people. But that is favor. That is the faith that accompanies That called God is providing
for that.
Now, I could go to Mama Rose's or Domino's and say, I'm having a big party for a bunch of youth. They'd say, yeah, what do you want? I'd say, well, I was wondering if you would donate. No.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, would you give me a discount? No. Well, would you sell me people? Nah, we're mad. Go to another pizza place. Look, I don't have that faith.
Yeah.
I don't have the faith to have the favor with it. I don't have enough faith to love people that looks like they're unlovable.
Yeah.
I don't have it. Steve Yant?
He's got it. Yeah.
But he had got it.
Yeah. But you had the faith to go into third world country instead of a crusade.
Yes.
Yeah.
I've got that faith.
Yeah.
But there again.
And you got the favor and you got.
Absolutely. Yeah. It is.
The grace of God is on
it. It is the same, but it's different. We're all members.
Absolutely.
But each member has a portion
Yeah.
of what they're doing.
Yeah.
So, do you see the difference?
Absolutely.
One is the measure, one is the portion.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, when we have our faith, this is the faith of the believer. We can develop it, we can grow it, but there are certain things that it cannot do.
Yeah.
I'm just telling you, it cannot do it.
Yeah.
Because these are sovereign declarations of God. I've heard people say, well, he's got enough faith, he probably walk on water. Never.
Yeah.
he, that kind of faith is not available to man.
Yeah.
It's not available to man. I'm going to pray over this food and I'm going to multiply it, going to feed 5,000. That type of multiplication is not available to man.
Yeah.
Or we'd never buy groceries.
Yeah, exactly.
I'd be at my house. God reproduce these green beans. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Now, Jesus, hallelujah, get these kidney beans going. God, I need some soup beans and I need ham in my soup. Do you see?
Yeah.
But people preach that. Now, let me tell you something. There is no limit to what faith can do.
Yeah.
Because all things are possible, and faith can do what it's ever done. But we have to understand there's a measure of faith, there's a portion of faith.
Yeah.
One can do one thing, but a measure of faith will not operate or activate a gift.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You know, with what you're saying, it's so powerful, because Jesus operated, obviously, as the fullness of the Godhead bodily, but he still had to use faith and exercise faith, and of course he was able to do those things, multiply and calm storms and everything. Do you think that ultimately, say like the first Adam, because by faith God framed and fashioned the world, created the world. So do you think in the millennial reign, let's say, or in our glorified state, we will have the kind of faith that supernatural? Faith, because I know we talk about faith. We don't need faith in heaven, but as the second Adam in Christ, ruling and reigning, will we use that kind of immeasurable
again,
faith?
It will be that the kingdom has come.
Yes. Yeah.
So faith is given to us to enter into the kingdom and
activate the kingdom.
But what happens when the kingdom comes?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it doesn't have to be activated.
Yeah, it's here.
It is.
Yeah, that's good.
And you go to heaven.
Yeah.
Pull a piece of fruit off. You don't have to say, now, I believe this is not going to leave a mess.
Yeah.
You eat it.
Yeah.
Your hands are not sticky. You know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Boy, Phyllis railed me last night. She said, you put these pants shorts in there. They didn't have any stains on them. You were supposed to spray them. Now they're all stained. I'll never get this out there. I said, honey, I'm telling you, I forgot. I'm sorry. And I know what she's thinking. You're like a 6-year-old kid. And I'm thinking, yes, I am.
Yeah.
Don't buy me white shorts. Don't buy me anything that you can see a stain on, because I'm telling you, I'm going to mark it. And so, these things that operate like this.
Yeah.
We are so concentrated on growing our faith and all that kind of stuff. And look, we are where we are. The first time we ever used our faith that God gave us the measure of, we defeated the devil.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with your faith. Some would say, oh, well, I got little faith. Well, then you have enough to move a mountain.
Jesus said,
you have faith like a grain of mustard seed.
Yeah.
You got a mustard seed? Sure you do. You got a measure.
And that's such a good point, because everyone's looking for a great faith. You know, mustard seed is great faith, right?
Right.
Yeah.
But faith is not always to be used for things.
Yeah.
Faith is used for two places. If you go to 2 Peter the first chapter, their faith is used for two basic things in a believer's life. And it says in verse 3, well, let's look at verse 1 down through 4. It says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith. Now, he's not talking about the apostolic office. He's talking about the servitude of Christ.
Yes. Yeah.
And if, or this would just be for apostles.
Yeah.
We wouldn't be reading. And it says, with us through the righteousness of God and the Savior of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And then it says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given us all things that pertain to life and godliness.
Yeah.
Through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Wherefore, given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these we might be partakers of the divine nature, godliness, and having escaped the corruption that is in this world through lust.
Yeah.
So there are two things. We use it for life.
Yeah.
Provide for what we need in life.
Yeah.
And we use it for godliness.
Yeah.
Now, most people use it for things, but they never use it to produce godliness.
Yeah.
For transformation. They think, well, I just get knowledge, and, well, I understand that. But when you see, be holy, for I am holy,
yeah.
Then you start mixing your faith. God, I want to thank you.
Yeah.
That God, your word, is transforming me and perfecting holiness.
Yeah.
That's what it says.
Amen.
That God, I'm laying off God to the side, all filthiness, superfluity of naughtiness.
Yeah.
I want to thank you, God, that the works of the flesh are not going to manifest in me, but God, I am the light of the world.
Yeah.
That God, I'm living in the fruits of the Spirit. They shall see me and see Christ in me.
Yeah.
And they will know me by my fruits. See, that is a mixing of faith. And guess what God does? He moves in and he starts producing that God nature.
Absolutely.
That reflection of Christ, that godliness in our life.
Absolutely.
Just like you would say, God, you know what? You meet all of my needs according to your riches and glory.
Amen.
God, I'm going to take this seed that I have, and God, I'm going to sow this seed. As I sow it, God, I know you multiply it back to me.
Yeah.
I want to thank you, Father, that men and women are giving back into my bosom.
Yeah.
I thank you, God, you're ordering my steps. I'm going to be in the right place at the right time. I thank you, God, that as I do this, my life is going to be filled with such an abundance that, God, I'll be able to abound unto every good work.
Yeah.
I'm going to cause believers to erupt with thanksgiving because of my declaration that Jesus is Lord. I live by faith, and he is my shepherd, and I do not want.
Amen. Amen.
That's is powerful. A mixture of faith. Now, when we use our faith for that, it's two things, not just one fold.
Yeah.
You don't want things without godliness.
Okay,
they'll send you to hell.
Yeah.
They will send, and you'll pierce yourself through with many sorrows.
We
don't want to do that.
Desire to be rich. People plunge themselves into ruin.
There you go.
You know, we should desire godliness.
Yeah. Right?
So, I mean.
And we want things.
Yeah.
Because the Bible says you get married, you used to want God, now you want earthly things you may please your wife.
Exactly.
Yes. You know, you think God will hunt you down. Your wife, if she ain't got worldly things, she will vex you.
Yeah.
So God just warns you in
advance,
the future. Yeah. You want nice things for your wife. Oh, God, I don't need them. I said that to God one time. I was living in an old farmhouse. It used to be a mortuary. And it was 146 years old then. That's been 20 years, so it's 166 years. He said the floors bowed. You know, we had one fireplace in one room. The rest of the house just, you know, you run to it, and the bathroom, nobody. Is anybody in the bathroom? Wasn't nobody in the bathroom. They get in there and they get out quick. And even the back door would blow up. I'd have to shovel snow out of the back door. I'd have mounds of snow. And I said, no, God, I don't need another place. I said, I'm happy. I like it out there.
Yeah.
He said, you know what? Your wife doesn't. She made the sacrifice for you, and you need to believe God, believe me for a new house.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
but it was her needs over mine, and that is appropriate.
Yeah.
So, but this faith is not just for things. We need to desire things. yes, God wants us blessed, but he doesn't want us blessed to the point that we're not transformed into him.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, he wants us to prosper even as our soul prospers. But if our soul or our mind, our intellect is not being transformed into the ways of God, he just doesn't want us to be blessed.
You know, part of my praying, even this week, pastors were talking about this, has been, you know, Lord, I don't hear a lot of people praying that they would be so close to the Lord, you know, like Enoch, or, you know, that they just are not. Mm-hmm. You know, how many of us have that pursuit? You know, Lord, I want to be so close to you. You know, why do we leave it to one guy or a couple guys when we, you know, those who draw near to him, he'll draw near to us.
Yeah, absolutely.
And our pursuit should be godliness. And,
yes.
And in that, he'll provide.
Godliness has the promise of life now and of eternal life.
That's right, yeah.
Things don't.
Yeah.
Things really don't even promise life without godliness.
That's right.
They All they do is promise accumulation.
Yeah. Yeah.
And because they can't make you happy.
No, our barns are filled.
Yeah, absolutely. And so now this faith, when people say, well, you know, you need more faith, you need this, and that, and I do understand that we are to grow in our faith.
Yeah.
But every situation we go into doesn't mean that because it's not functioning, that we have a shortage of faith or that we are weak in faith.
Let me ask you, is growing in faith, is it faith growing or is it us growing into and exercising the faith we already have?
Well, it's twofold. Okay. Because when this comes up, our faith is being enlarged.
Yeah.
So it has to be where we meditate, we study the scriptures, and faith, our minds are transformed, faith comes up out of the human spirit. It is that connection.
Yeah.
That way, any kingdom divided against itself. See, you can be a new creature and have a carnal mind, and guess what?
Yeah.
The kingdom can never manifest.
Yeah.
So, the unity of the soul and of the spirit comes from the renewing of the mind.
Yeah.
And once that happens, then that which is in here can flow into that. Just like when you come into the kingdom of God, the things of the kingdom can flow into you. You are affected.
Yeah.
And so those things happen, and then that soul, and that now you have a united kingdom. Mm. That's why it says, you know, a man that has a spiritual mind, he can operate in the laws of God. A carnal mind cannot.
Yeah.
Why? Because it takes faith to operate in the realm of the spirit.
That's good stuff. Yeah.
And then we can use our faith. If I just got saved yesterday, and I believe sometimes I feel that way, but let's say I just got saved and I need a miracle. Well, people would say, well, you know, they died, they just didn't have enough faith. They didn't. No, I don't think that.
Yeah.
Because number one, you're saved.
Yeah.
You have given birth by your faith to the greatest miracle.
Yeah, that's right.
It transforms heaven. It is one of the times where God writes your name.
Yeah.
It moves the hand of God. Now, that is not bad.
Yeah.
Amen? You break
the
chains of iniquity off of your life.
Yeah.
People get freed from drugs, alcoholism, freed from their self. You know, they get free. Now, only God could do that, but the devil cannot stop it.
Yeah.
And so here you are, a child of the devil, bound by sin, on heroin, you know, doing whatever you're doing, and you pray one prayer one time, use your faith the first time you ever use it, bang, you break the devil, get broke free out of his kingdom, translate him to kingdom life, seated in the heavenly place, you're a new creature, praise God, God calls you his own, he's adopted you, he's branded you, and all the promises are yours. That's not bad for the first time.
No.
But then we are started, then we're taught how hard it gets. Oh, you know, well, God just gives you age when you're really, when you're young, God does everything for you. But when you get older, you got to, that is, I don't know what that is, but it is not of God.
Yeah.
And so now when we have faith.
We should be growing faith to faith, right?
Yes, we go from faith to faith. Now, here's what lots of people don't. I don't think that it's a lack of faith where you're at to get what you need.
Yeah.
I think that it may be a lack of the word of wisdom or the lack of skill using the word of righteousness and operating within its boundaries.
Yeah.
So, because the Bible said in Hebrews 5:12, you know, you should be adults eating meat because you should be using the word of righteousness.
Exactly.
And then, you know, but you're like babes. Well, sometimes people stay as babes in their faith.
Yeah.
But the Bible tells us, it's a real unique, any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church.
Yeah.
Well, what does that mean? If you are sick and you have been using your faith and you can't get set free, use your faith that you have and latch to another's faith.
Absolutely.
That is greater.
Yeah.
One can put 1,000 flat, two can put 10,000 flat.
Yeah.
Two measures
put
10,000 flat.
That's right. Now, and isn't that a sanctioned by God? The elders, you know, the laying on of hands in the church.
Absolutely. It is sanctioned by God.
That's a place that we know God brings healing.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The Bible says if any two of you touch and agree upon earth, it'll be done of our Heavenly Father.
Yeah.
So that again is a union. What did the blind man, blind Bartimaeus, have? He had faith.
Yeah, that's right.
The reason I know I had faith, Jesus said, your faith has saved you.
Yeah.
But his faith could not produce total healing.
Yeah.
But he did have enough faith to use his faith to attach to someone else that had greater faith.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
And it got a miracle. So when somebody says, well, you know, if you just had faith, you'd have it. Take your faith and say, I want you to use your faith.
Yeah.
You're telling me how great it is. You're telling me that it worked. Use your faith.
Yeah. That's.
Yeah. That'll help you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, see, so Jesus tells us that we can take our measure of faith, and while it's growing, we can lay hold. We can join our hands of faith together.
Yeah.
Just like this. Now there is two.
Agreeing.
Now there are two measures.
Mm.
Being equal together is an enlarged measure.
Pleasure. That's good.
Now, his faith and my faith can accomplish what singular faith could not do. And we see this shadow, this form, this type, all through the scriptures.
Yeah.
One you
could
know,
put 1,000, two could put 10,000.
Right.
Yeah.
The woman with the issue of blood laid hold of his garment. Thy faith hath made thee. What do you mean?
Yeah.
well, your faith has made you whole. What did she do? She tapped into a greater faith.
Yeah.
And so we want to understand these principles that, you know, you can take wine and pour it into a wineskin. In other words, there can be transferences of things. The spirit that was on Moses came upon the 70.
Yeah.
So there are these transferences that sometimes we just don't use.
Yeah. Jesus and the 70 sent out.
There you go.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And he told them, hey, go and do this and do that.
Yeah.
So they went out and did it.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And they came back and told him, hey, we did this in your name. But then they run into another and he said, well, you know, it's your unbelief.
Yeah.
And so what did the guy do? Hey, I come after you anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, did that guy have faith? Well, certainly he had faith. He had a greater insight than most Christians. You know, Christians say, you know, that was an epileptic spirit. But the man said it's a deaf and dumb spirit.
Yeah, it is.
And that's what Jesus cast out, deaf and dumb spirit. He never dealt with any epileptic spirit. So it wasn't an epileptic spirit. We have renamed deaf and dumb spirits.
Yeah.
There are now epileptic spirits.
Yeah. Yeah. And what did he say? You know, I believe, but help my unbelief.
There you go.
So he tapped in. I got my faith. I want to reach into yours.
Yeah, and he had faith. He believed.
Yeah.
He came to Jesus.
Yeah.
What more faith could you have?
Yeah.
So.
That's good.
Well, I guess we'll talk about this next week. Listen, next Tuesday we're going to talk about this, and we're going to really push on getting into the gift of faith. But the things that we talked about, Rob, about our faith today, they are basic essentials that we need to understand.
Yeah.
Because so many times I used to think, I've got to have faith. I need more faith. And I doubted what I had.
Yeah.
But Jesus said, don't doubt this seed.
Yeah.
Throw it in there. Then just go to sleep. Get up. Do your regular stuff. Lay back down. Go to sleep. One day.
Yeah.
Here comes that little seed of faith. right up out of the ground.
Yeah, there it is.
That's right. And so there, don't ever doubt your faith. You doubt your faith, you'll have no hope.
Yeah.
You keep thinking, if I just had more faith, or you listen to people, well, you do need more faith. You need to have faith. You need to have your mind renewed. You need to instill the principles of God, discover what God has said, meditate on them, and let the Word do the work. And it'll transform you, and you will have greater faith.
Yeah.
And your faith will grow as you use it. So you have to use it too. But I just don't... Look, if I couldn't keep the devil at bay, Rob, with the measure of faith that I had,
yeah,
then I'm not going to last a week.
Yeah, that's right.
Jesus has dealt me a blow that says, Peter, I saved you,
yeah,
but I knew you didn't have enough faith to resist the devil, so I said this to you, you know, it's better to have known me than never to have known, than to have known me and to have left me. So when you leave me,
yeah,
boy, you're going to have it tough, Peter.
No, yeah, that didn't happen. No.
Do you think God just threw me to the wolves and said, consume him? He's my son, I don't care.
Yeah.
No. So that measure of faith, Rob, yeah, from the first time we use it, yeah, has got to be able to rule sin, mm-hmm, rule our physical mind, rule Satan,
yeah,
rule the temptation to persecute. It has to. If not, we'll be lost.
Yeah. And Jesus prayed for Peter, and he didn't pray that his faith would keep him, but he prayed that your faith would remain.
That's right. Yeah. I'm praying, Peter, that your faith,
yeah,
will still be intact.
Yeah. Amen.
Hallelujah. Okay, hey, we're going to see you next Tuesday. Remember, Jesus cared. Now, there is an impartation, and it is happening in your life. Now, Father, in the name of, yes, Jesus, Rob and I pray right now, God, that you would just infuse these revelations into people, that, God, they will live by faith. Every promise will, yes, come, Lord, to pass, and godliness, God, will be the result of them applying their faith. Hallelujah. God, we thank you for it, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And amen.
Amen.